Okay, for everybody that's going to listen to the recording, this is the Wednesday night identity chat that we have here on By Always Design. Today is the 7th of December, Pearl Harbor Day, 2022. And I would hope that everybody that comes to this forum and listens to the replay would be in the camp that knows that Pearl Harbor was a staged event and was used to get us into World War II. And we know who the bad actors are, the usual suspects in that whole charade. So that's why I don't really get too worked up over Pearl Harbor, because it was a lie, like so many lies that this piece of crap government of ours has been involved with since they've let the communists run it. But Pearl Harbor wasn't what we were told. None of it was. The Lusitania for World War I wasn't what we were told. The firing on Fort Sumter to get us into the Civil War was a lie. The Maine and getting us into the Spanish-American War was a lie. It's all a lie. It's what I said years and years ago. It's a lie. So anyway, this is really no particular topic for tonight. It's pretty much a wide open forum, lots and lots of things going on. Many people contacting me all the time about setting up communities and getting our art projects going. So definitely hoping that that shows some progress here in the next few months. Definitely need to get out of Babylon. This Babylonian system is just more disgusting every single day that goes by. So everything that we can do to progress with that, I have quite a few friends who are sympathetic to our desire to build communities and get out of Babylon, so much so that I have at least five very good friends who are working on ways to finance the obtaining of sizable properties that we could either subdivide or use as a base and then help other people get small 5 to 10 acre farmettes and have us all in a general location together. So that's the goal, so that we could do barter between each other, just like our ancestors did, live according to the laws of nature, much like the Amish do. Only we would go a step further. We would be much more strict about the rules and being organic and holistic and using heirloom seeds and processing things naturally, no artificial chemicals, no artificial anything. All the livestock would be treated very humanely, versus the man-made system we have today, which, of course, is not very humane at all. So anyway, that's some of the things going on. And so if anybody has any topics of interest, let me unmute everybody. That way, if you wish to speak, you can unmute yourself and don't have to wait for me. There is a chat here if you don't wish to speak. Some people feel nervous about speaking. So if that's you, then you can use the chat window to put in a comment or ask a question and we'll pick up on it. Kumri here, you put in the chat about using 1 acre. Why do you
want 1 acre each? Like, the way you worded it, sounded like each person gets 10 acres, and to me, that's too much. We just need, to, like, even 1 acre each, you could get, what, 15 people on 15 acres with 1 acre each or more. Because, like I said in my post, for something for, like, an emergency, it's not going to be, you know, somewhere we'd live forever, because once Babylon falls, we could grab whatever acres we want.
Well, there'll be plenty of places after the revelation destruction of Babylon. Yeah, we're only talking, well, just like Noah and his family. They weren't on the ark forever. They were on the ark during the takedown of the system. And so that's what we're trying to do, exactly as Noah did. Build our sanctuaries where we can live very spartanly, but we will have totally organic food and building materials and clothing materials. Get away from this artificial world because it's disgusting. It does nothing but create negativity. We just need to come out of it exactly as the book says. Come out of her so that you don't suffer along with her. And just like it also says in the book of Revelation, we will stand afar off and watch as Babylon burns and the weeping and wailing of the merchants and the so-called rulers of the day, the political people, the artificial governments, because they are artificial. Because even in Scripture, it tells you that your government is to enforce God's law and be a terror to those who violate God's law. And our governments aren't doing that. Quite the opposite. So we need to do that. I even put a post today on some Judeo-Christian soft-headed, soft-hearted guy was going to forgive some clown that murdered his granddaughter, wasn't even a teenager yet, and this clown is talking about he feels that he needs to forgive this guy. Forgive him? Hell, you go get a good stiff rope and you help take him outside and hang his ass. You don't forgive him. You just encourage this kind of behavior when you do stuff like that. That's why the scripture says you don't do that. You send a clear message. If you want to rape, rob, pedophile, homosexuality, murder, you commit all those crimes, you're going to hang from the end of a rope. It's the way it's been for thousands of years. Why is that so hard for people to understand? That's how you stop crime. That's how you make a civilization. By making it clear that anybody that violates the rules will pay a price. So, there were people plotting that this grandfather was going to go ahead and forgive this clown, who was probably not even white, this clown for raping and murdering his granddaughter. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. Who in his right mind thinks that that's a good thing to do? I don't understand. Let's see. Ella says here, we have to make sure it's in a place that doesn't get too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer. That way we can adjust to the climate without using heat or air conditioning. That's true. My solution for that is to do what our ancestors used to do. When you're in that situation, you build your homes. Either design them as the old Florida homes used to be designed, with very tall ceilings and windows shaped a certain way so that all the hot air would be at the top of the ceiling, way up off the floor, and they had windows in such a place that you always had a good breeze through them. And then later on, people learned how you can build homes, and a lot of people are doing this today. They're putting in smaller homes, but they're very well constructed. And the ground is put around three of the four sides, and up over the roof is also got 18 or more inches of dirt. So now your home is underground below the frost line, so it costs almost nothing to air condition and or heat it. If you build one of these, what they call earthship homes, they have on the side that's not covered with dirt, you build a indoor greenhouse. So the light comes into the living area, but it comes through a what would have been a front porch, let's say, but it's all glass and screened in. So the front end of the house is your greenhouse, which will stay at about 55 to 60 degrees year round, without any air conditioning or heat. So there are ways of doing it to where you can be literally off the grid and live successfully and have plenty of rich organic food to eat right there in your home. You just walk out the front door and go through your greenhouse and pick your veggies and stuff for your salads and different things for your meals. I mean, there's common sense things to do. We've gotten away from all that because of artificially lowered prices for electricity and fuel oil and things like that. So we've become very inefficient in the way we build homes and communities. And now we're having to learn to go back the other way because Yahweh is taking all that away from us. And he's using our enemy to do that. Our enemy's trying to starve us to death. Europe, they're going to try to freeze a bunch of people to death. The communists are making their move. So as Yahweh said, you know, come out of Babylon, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. So as Noah and his family, through faith, got onto the ark, and Yahweh provided, and so we can do the same thing now. And that's what we're trying to do. And we have quite a few really, really top-shelf people that I know, very, very interested in all this, and many of them have pledged sizable contributions if Yahweh blesses them in their business ventures. In fact, I have a very, very close friend who's out west right now as we speak, talking to some lifelong investor friends of his about these kind of projects. So we have a lot of pokers in the fire, hoping that one of them will get hot enough that we can get something started here in the very near future, because it does appear that time is running out. So we will keep that, you know, keep that in front of you, keep you advised of any developments along that line. I didn't get any like super newsworthy material today. I've been outside and running errands and doing stuff like that, so I didn't get to spend my usual 8 hours at the desk sifting through videos and reports and all that like I do many days. So I don't really have any super reports other than there's things happening. I haven't really got a strong sense of who's doing what and why yet, other than that there are some rather bizarre things happening right now. We certainly pray that it's our Father behind it and it's people trying to do things for the right reason. I did notice that the Florida Maquis was talking about Marco Rubio, and we get mixed reports on Marco Rubio. However, Marco Rubio put the in the Florida put forth a bill to force the military to remove all of the vaccination mandates. Also to rehire all of the military people that were let go due to their refusal to put that poison in their body, and that they are supposed to get back pay. So we'll see if it actually comes to fruition or not, but at least somebody's trying to do something for the veterans, and being a veteran myself, I'm happy to see that the veterans get at least a little something, little support, because most of the time that I was in the military, veterans were looked down upon, especially during Vietnam. People used to sneer at us, and some people even would spit at you and stuff like that, because the Vietnam War was not a popular war. And so we men and women that served at that time were basically considered rejects. Many years later, people would come along with the quote, thank you for your service, but they didn't say that back in the 1970s, even into the 1980s. I can guarantee you that. So, in fact, when I went looking for a job, I had a guy tell me, he said, if you had 6 months of civilian experience versus your 4 years in the U.S. Air Force, he said, 6 months in a civilian job, I could find you plenty of work. So even there, we were discriminated against. My whole 4 years of training and working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for the Air Force didn't account for as much as 6 months in a civilian job. If for the veterans out there, you know what kind of training I'm talking about that you have to go through. Military training is not like a college or community college or anything like that. It's quite different. It's very intense. It's very specific. They don't waste time teaching you nonsense. So you're going to go to a very intense training period to learn what you need to know to do your job, and not a bunch of BS that could be easily learned. And I went to college for a year, and most of the stuff they were putting us through was ridiculous. Had nothing to do with engineering or being a good engineer. It was crazy stuff. That's one reason I left it and I went in the military, is why would I spend money for this? This isn't an education. It's more of a waste of my time. I don't need to learn about opera and how to interpret movies and opera settings and different nonsensical BS that they were giving us. So anyway, that's a different story. So a lot of things have changed. And again, you know, we just keep our eyes on the horizon, just like it says in Gideon when he was picking his men out there. We're trying to bring the water up to our lips and keep our eyes on the horizon for not just our own families and loved ones, but for all of us in the identity community, the real ones anyway. We do have some flakes and charlatans out there, and Yahweh's separating them out, continuing to separate them out. So that's good too. We certainly don't need to have any fakes and frauds amongst our ranks. So that's really good. So does anybody have any concerns or reports, or just heard of anything, or have something on your heart? I don't know if Elka will be here tonight. I spoke with her last night for a little while. Gary, her husband Gary out in San Diego, who calls into the show quite a bit, he's been missing in action because the police have a protection order against Elka because of a misunderstanding, and Gary has dementia. It comes and goes, but during one of his dementia episodes, he said something to a detective or some bureaucrat that Elka tried to hurt him, and so they went off, as all bureaucrats do, and basically she's being treated as an abusive spouse, and they have a protection order from her, so she can't even talk to her own husband or find out what's going on, and Gary's under the custody of his daughter. So long, arduous process that Elka has to go through. So when we ask the prayers for both Gary and Elka, they've been through a lot from what she was telling me. So, and it continues, but they're doing the best they can, and there's some legal people trying to help them out and trying to get the situation under control. But, it, you know, in this day and age, it's, I don't know, I just shake my head sometimes. How did we let this get this way? I know part of the answer. Me and other people that brought up issues back in the 70s and 80s, we were scoffed at. I used to talk to people and say, you know, we're going the wrong way. You know, there's communism eking into our society. We're becoming reprobates. We're not following God's law. And people just look at you like you're crazy. What are you, a communist? You don't like it here once you leave. I said, no, I do like it here. I just don't want it to change. I want us to fix what's going on. But most people back then didn't care. Didn't care at all. So I hear, is that Matt? Matt, did you have something you wanted to bring up?
No, I'm just, I'm in more of a listening mode tonight. That's usually, I like the idea of having everybody like get together in one general area. But it's got to be a general area and have fun trying to get everybody to agree on where that's going to be. If you're familiar with a guy by the name of Clay Douglas, he tried the same thing. In fact, you might go to his website, Free American freeamerican.com, I think it is, than freeamerican.com, freeamerican.org. He tried this. So I don't know what kind of progress he's made or what's going on with that. It's been a while.
I used to get stuff from Clay. That was a long time ago, so maybe I'll go back to that website and see what I can find out. Yeah, I know, and so did Harold Covington, that was the author of those books and all. He tried to get something going on up in the Pacific Northwest. But the problem is our people don't perceive being in danger. And so these guys couldn't get too many people that would actually put up some money and make an effort to move and be part of a community. And like you said, we don't necessarily have to all be on the same plot of ground. It could be that we're all within a few miles of each other. It could be that, you know, I've got a 5-acre farmette here and Jeremiah's got a 10-acre over there and my wealthy buddy, he's got a 50-acre ranch over there, but we all work together. We have a call-out list if there's ever trouble, or we all chip in and get a 5 to 10-acre plot that's communal, where we build a big barn, and that's like a community center for all of us to gather and do things, have meetings, have services together, have feast days together, things like that. There's a lot of possibilities if you get people of like mind that are willing to work with each other. And again, I grew up with the Pennsylvania Amish, so I got to see what a people who share common values are capable of. The Amish, I've been to some of their barn raisings and their house raisings, and they work. It's not a question of, well, can that be? No, they've been doing it for a long time. So they have proven that it works. Now, does every child born into an Amish family stay with that lifestyle? No. Some of them don't. Some of them want to go to New York or the big city or whatever, but quite a few of them do want to stay. And sometimes an outsider will come in and ask to join them. So, you know, and I was up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania one time, and there was a big sign by a big Amish farm there, and it said, "We will teach you the Amish ways." So they must get people from the outside that realize that it's a Babylonian system, and they reach out to them to learn how to do things the old-fashioned way. In fact, where I grew up, my father would use the Amish guys for a lot of the labor, and it was the Amish guys that would come and bale hay off of our fields. My father had an arrangement, and he gave them a very good price on our hay fields if they would come in and mow it and bale it and take it away to help them out. And then they gave him a very good price on processing any of our cattle that we had for slaughter. They would take them in and take care of it and wrap them all up and put them in a big freezer. And we ate 100% organic homegrown beef my entire childhood. And deer meat. We had quite a bit of deer meat as well. But we took one time one of the biggest steers. And for you people that don't know what a steer is a bull that's had his male part taken off, and he becomes a steer. And a steer, they do that so the steer will gain more weight and become bigger. So we had a steer that weighed 1,000 pounds dressed, and by dressed that means he's already been butchered, he's already had many of his parts taken out. That's how much the meat on the hook was after all the other stuff had been taken away. It was still half of a ton of meat. So that was a big, big steer. And we ate off of him for a long, long time. So there are ways of doing it. You know, like I said, I grew up seeing it and living amongst it, so I know it can be done. We had our own family farm, a big, large garden right out the front door, and maybe about 25 feet away was the edge of the garden, big garden, and spring water, ice cold spring water to drink. And a lot of people don't know this, but spring water, a lot of people say water doesn't taste good. Well, you must be drinking municipal water or something like that. But if you drink actual spring water from the ground, it's almost sweet tasting. It's delicious. I think Jeremiah up there in the mountain, Pennsylvania, you can drive along some of those country roads and you'll see a pipe sticking out of the side of a hill, and spring water is just pumped out of it 24 hours a day.
Not anymore. They sealed them all up.
They seal all those spring water outlets?
Yeah, they're now considered illegal.
God. The communists don't give up on anything, do they? They want to control everything. They don't want you to have any ability to survive without being part of the system. They're trying desperately to entrap us. That's just nuts. That's another reason we know that there can't be too much more to this. It's coming to a head. You can feel the pressure. You can feel it boiling up. So we don't have a super long time to go. This thing's going to come to a finale. But I do believe what the Father told us, what the Holy Spirit ministers to us, that we have to stay strong and keep our eyes fixed on the prize, you know, and keep working towards what we know to be true and not let what's going on around us bother us. A lot of people get really, really upset. If you're hearing this stuff and it's starting to wear at you to the point where it's affecting your health, then that's not good. It's okay to be concerned. It's okay to be want to be informed, but not let it upset you to the point where it affects your health. That is not what we're supposed to do. So we have to be very, very cautious about that. Your health right now is probably more important than it's ever been. So you do not want any unhealthy habits. If you can avoid them, don't do that. We need lots of good sleep. A lot of people having problems with that. I have found out through friends, for you people that and your friends that have insomnia, you really, really need to look at the CBD products, which are the cannabinoids. Now, they have cannabinoids that have no THC, which is the ingredient that creates the buzz, so to speak. So if you're concerned about that, you get CBD oil or CBD capsules that do not have any THC in them. Being a practitioner myself, I can tell you that a small amount of THC is actually beneficial. If it's in heirloom cannabis, not the GMO type or any of the hybrids, I'm talking heirloom cannabis is very medicinal. It's a gift from the Father. The things that will help cure is just unbelievable, just like every other plant and tree and thing that he put here for us, once you learn the truth about them. But the main thing is it has to be organic. It has to be non-hybrid to get the full and maximum benefit. So what I've found out through friends of mine that have been experimenting with this stuff, they have found out that the low dose of THC cannabinoid products are actually helping some of these people with chronic insomnia get some sleep for the first time in decades. Can you imagine going decades without being able to sleep properly? Can you imagine what it does to your psyche? What it does to your attitude? Your ability to concentrate and to function properly? I mean, people just don't know it. Like me, I fall asleep easily. I can take naps. I can take get a 5 hour sleep and jump up and work all day, or I can sleep 8 to 9 hours the next day. I mean, I've never had a problem with sleeping. So for me, it's hard for me to understand it, but I have many relatives and friends who do suffer from chronic insomnia. And I'm going to tell you, it's devastating what it'll do to you. So that's just one area. So we've got to get proper sleep. We need exercise, fresh air, sunshine, pure water. Drink lots of pure water. And keep away from the excessive amounts of the alcoholic or soda pops and all the other poisonous beverages that are out there. Especially today, I'm getting a lot of warnings that these Jewish companies, what they're doing to some of the products when nobody's around. And I've often wondered about that, because even in some of the places I worked, I always wondered, who watches over the vats and the different lines and the storage containers with all these different products and stuff? And who watches over that in the during the hours when nobody's there? Or even if people are there, who watches it all the time? A lot of these things are not watched, not monitored. So, you know, they poisoned the wells of Europe to create the Black Plague. What makes people think they wouldn't do it in a modern age? And now we're finding there's meat products with human DNA in it. It's despicable, some of the things that we're finding out. Just utterly despicable. So again, I believe a lot of this, and some people might think I'm crazy, but I think a lot of this, as Ella will attest to, Yahweh's in control. We think, and some people push the idea that Satan is doing all this, this entity called Satan. Most of our demons are within us. Most of the demons and the evil that's in this world is done by people who just give in to their dark side. I believe Yahweh is ultimately in charge of everything going on, and this is one way to separate his people from this system, by making it so utterly contemptible. Because if we didn't have this happening, our people wouldn't come out of the system. They really wouldn't. Because really, if you think about it, years ago we should have. And now it's taken this much insanity and death and destruction, and people are just now starting to think about getting back to the old ways and repenting and coming back to our Father. It's unbelievable. Kumri, go ahead. You got your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to add one thing that in my studies and reading I found, only the church ever says God does no evil. Because if you read the Bible, God himself says that he causes evil to befall Israel to punish them, showing that he does everything. He does good and evil when it's for his plan. And if we actually read the Bible, God never says there's something necessarily wrong with what we perceive as evil, because he uses it all the time to punish us.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I was alluding to. We give credit to these monsters out here as if they're so powerful and evil and wicked, which they are to a degree. But I don't believe they're ultimately in charge. I really don't. I think a lot of this, it fits in, as you said, with Scripture, where it says that he will send punishment upon his people when they misbehave. And our people are misbehaving. Who can deny that? And I'm going to stick to what I've said for many years, too. Most of the people in this movement, this identity truth, most of the people I've ever known, they're okay. They may not have $1 million in the bank, and they may not have the biggest house on the block, but most of the people that truly love the Father and obey him are doing okay. Maybe not perfectly. Maybe they have a few bumps in the road. We all have had those. But doesn't he say, yeah, I may put you through some trials and tribulations, but that doesn't mean I'll forsake you. I'll be there to help you get through them. And years later, we find out that we learned an important lesson through that trial or that tribulation, something that benefited us many years later. Just like when I first learned identity, I wanted to get on a radio show and preach it to the world. Yahweh wouldn't let that happen for 7 years. For 7 years, I searched for a way to broadcast the identity truth. And then I always wondered, why don't you give me a chance? I'm passionate. I want to preach this. I want to teach this important truth. But it was during those 7 years that I learned so much more, because I had the 7 years to go and read everything Bertrand Comparé had done, many of the works of Wesley Swift, many of the other early identity teachers. I had time to do a lot of my own research, and this was back in the day before computers, where it took some really serious time to take hard copies of interlinear Bibles and get lexicons out from off the shelf and thumb through them trying to find definitions and everything else. So that 7 years wasn't wasted. I thought it was, you know, not beneficial, because I thought this message needs to get out here. But in Yahweh's time, that was a short period of time. And he just said, no, you're not going to get out there and start talking to the world. But then when it was time, doors opened up, interviews, I was asked to be on for interviews, and the next thing you know, I was contacted by a radio station asking if I wanted a one-hour time slot every Friday evening. That started. So you can see Yahweh's hand at work, even though when I was in the middle of it, I was confused. Why is this not working out for me? Why can't I get on a radio station? Blah, 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 blah. And the whole time was the Father had it all taken care of. All I had to do was be patient. Just like for the arcs. It's not up to us to decide. Why does the Father seem to be holding us back from developing our arcs right now? I got to believe there's a reason for it, because we seem to be having so much trouble getting all the pieces to come together. When the time is right, it will all fall in place just as it's supposed to. We just tend to be like children, and we get very impatient. We want our satisfaction now, damn it, and I don't want to wait. But the Father says, it'll be in my time, not your time. Sorry. That's just the way it works. Fellowship is definitely important, as some of the people I've talked to here recently have said. You know, when we reach out to each other, as the book says, fellowship and discipleship amongst the brethren, you would not believe how important that is in this day and age. Because even though, like, I'm blessed with a family, most of my family understand the message. They may not be as passionate about teaching it as we are, but most of my family and friends know the message, and at least they don't fight it. They know it and agree with most of it. But I know there are identity folks out there that aren't blessed that way. They may be the only member in their entire family that knows this truth and will talk about it. And some people actually have people in their families who have excommunicated them because of this message. So they don't have anybody to reach out to. I was recently contacted by a gentleman. He's an older gentleman, but he was in that situation. He's trying to reach his family, but they're not getting it. And so being able to communicate with brothers and sisters is extremely important. Especially now with all of this insanity going on, and just people saying and doing stuff that just makes my head shake. I've been through a lot in my life. I've seen a lot, but some of the behavior and things people say and do today defies description. It's really crazy. People are losing their minds. Maybe these movies about zombies are actually predictive programming. Maybe that's exactly what they're creating, because some of these people behave that way. Almost like the zombies in the movies. I mean, they've got a look to them that they, like, the lights are on, but nobody's home. Some of their gestures, the things they do, they don't look healthy. People are having all kinds of health issues that should not have them. So, you know, crazy dystopic times. So again, it's open forum. So does anybody have anything that they'd like to report, ask at this time? Elko, did you want to say anything to bring us up to speed on Gary? Or would you rather just listen? Or do I? Ooh, I did. Okay, now I unmuted you. I forgot that you were muted.
Okay. It seems Gary is in a facility again. They called, but his daughter seems to have to make the decisions right now. So. But I don't know what shape he is in. That's the unfortunate thing. So I'm trying to communicate with the attorney and see if they can help with the order that I can at least see him.
Okay. But he is in a facility?
Yes.
Do you know which facility?
Yes, I do know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So people can probably start visiting again.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
How are you holding up?
Oh, I had a fairly good day today after yesterday was a little tough. But today I went out and had worked with someone and sat and talked. And that's good.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. I reached out, so.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. God bless. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Do you want to mute yourself or do you want me to do it?
I'll mute.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, I don't, like I said, I don't have anything really hot to share other than what we've already talked about. I will say that if something does come up that I think is really, really important, I will send out a mass email and I will schedule a special broadcast if I feel that's what's needed. In the meantime, if there's nothing that's earth-shaking, it'll be the standard Wednesday night chat and Sunday morning show. I have gotten a lot of very positive feedback from Keith's interview with me last Sunday. So he's said that he'll come back on at least once a month, maybe more, but at least once a month to bring us up to speed with things he's finding out there. And there's other things going on too. So again, if it's necessary, I will schedule a special broadcast. If not, then things are pretty much status quo. And we'll continue into the ARC situation and keep you abreast of all that. See, Lane just popped in here. Let me see if he's got anything once I figure out where my mouse is. Hi, Lane. Did you have anything you want to bring to the group here tonight? Or are you just listening? Okay. Must be just listening. Okay. So we'll go ahead and close it in prayer then, and I'll put the recording up on the Archives 2022 page of PastorDan.net, and for anybody that wants to check out what we've chatted about. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We know these are troubling times for all of us. There's a lot of illness out there. There's mental illness. There's stress. There's strife. Thanks to the wickedness in this world, there's financial problems around the bend, and many people are in trouble with the in the financial area already. Homelessness is on the rise. Many people contact me with the problems of trying to find either property or even rentals at this point. So we have been disobedient, Father. Those of us who do repent of that and ask your forgiveness, I would ask you to bless us, watch over us. We ask that you be with Elka and Gary in their situation, certainly. With your intervention, we would pray that that would come to a peaceful and fruitful culmination here soon. In the meantime, be with Gary and give him a sound mind and a sound body, and certainly Elka, give her strength to get through it. Everybody else that struggles with their day-to-day things, help us to stay cool. Know that we are the light in this world of darkness to the people around us, so we will have people contact us because they see it in us. We have to understand that. They're going to be able to see that we have something they don't. And we have to be willing to show mercy and to teach them things when they do ask. For those that don't want to know the truth, we just let them go. But for the ones that repent and want to come to you, Father, that's our job, to lead them in that direction and bring them up to speed. Forgive us our sins, our transgressions. Be with us and walk with us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And protect us from our enemies. And we ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.